You're listening to Quest to the Core, a podcast about leading with intention, clarity, and courage from the inside out, where the leadership journey gets personal, reflective, and powerfully real. In every episode, Jonna and Simone invite you into thoughtful dialogue that challenges assumptions, sharpens self-awareness, and equips you with actionable insights to lead with greater impact. Now, here is today's episode.
Welcome back to Quest to the Core. Today, we're talking about the leadership move that unlocks growth, meeting people where they are. I'm Simone.
And I'm Jonna. This isn't about soft pedaling expectations. It's about ensuring we give the right amount of direction and the right type of support so people can actually meet those expectations.
If we skip that step, feedback really feels like criticism, and coaching will meet resistance and trust will inevitably erode. But when we connect first, people progress faster because they feel heard, seen, and respected.
So let's dig into what this actually means in practice, because meeting people where they are can sound fuzzy and maybe a little unsure, uncertain until we anchor it.
So let's begin our conversation today about defining what we mean clearly about the meeting people where they are. And then let's also talk about why it matters. So, Jonna, how would you define what that means?
Really, to meet someone where they are is really acknowledging their current state. It is understanding their perspective. It is truly respecting their emotional state, their mental bandwidth, because we don't know what other people are going through. And every interaction that we have with someone, they are experiencing so many things within their life. So before we can even try to influence them or coach them or lead them, we have to understand them as a whole person, who they are as an individual and where they're currently at in their journey. How about for you?
That's the critical part, is the acknowledging before trying to move anybody anywhere. They need to know that I see them. They need to know that I hear them before they're willing to go anywhere I say that we need to go, or whatever standards I may set.
I was going to say the critical piece of that is doing all of that without judgment.
That's the big critical part. Judging mucks everything up, because they're going to get in their head. Like if I feel like you're judging me, I'll get in my head around trying to behave in such a way that it'll shift your judgment of me, rather than trying to really work towards what the expectations are or the standards are.
And judging is easy. Mm-hmm. Being open and trying to understand the person and trying to acknowledge where they're at, it takes work and it takes intentionality.
Yeah. The judging part is so unconscious oftentimes.
It really is.
And when we do that, we're in such an automatic way of quote unquote coaching someone to perform.
Because we have the answer.
Because we already have the answer, but we think we're coaching, but what we're really doing is guiding, pigeonholing, strong-arming, having our hand firmly on their back, pushing them towards what the expectation is. But what we're really talking about here of meeting people where they are is really being able to be flexible with the amount of direction we give someone, whether we give them a long list or it's just real slight nudges along the way, and also the type of support we're going to give them along the way, whether it's going to be high amount of support, low amount of support. Can't make that judgment of how much direction or what type of support I'm going to give until you know where they are.
I'd like to get a step further back in order to flex that level of support, in order to flex that level of direction, you really have to know the person. Mm-hmm. And really that is, to me, a foundational part of being a great leader, is truly knowing that other individual so that you can individualize what kind of support or what kind of direction that you need to provide.
What are some of those ways that you make sure that you get to know an employee?
Well, obviously asking those personal questions, getting to know them on a personal level. I think it really goes back to being able to listen to the other person, listening to what's being said, but also what's not being said, especially in a team setting. When there's lots of people sharing and maybe this individual is not sharing, then that can give you information to either A, process it, or to ask them questions in a private setting to truly understand how they, not only where they are in their journey, but how do they want to show up in the work environment. And then this could also happen in, you know, personal life as well.
One thing that we want to make sure that listeners take away from this conversation isn't that we're saying, hey, go meet where people are and wherever they're performing is okay. This is not a conversation about lowering the bar. It's really calibrating that support and direction we talked about so that they can meet the expectation. And you're doing that without lowering the bar.
So not changing the expectation, but figuring out what support they need on an individual level.
Yes.
So from your perspective, why is this important? Why does it matter?
Well, if we don't connect with people first, we're going to get resistance as soon as we try to have them meet the standard or meet the bar or get to the expectations. They will resist. So any feedback we give them is going to sound like we're criticizing them. If they don't feel seen or heard or like they belong, anything is going to sound negative for them. Even the most evolved human that you may have on the team, if they don't feel like they have that connection, the feedback's going to feel really like criticism, and it's going to really, really sting. Why do you think it matters?
Well, I do think that that connection, knowing that other individual builds that trust, right? And we've talked in other episodes how trust is such a critical part of not just the relationship building, but making sure that progress or performance is accelerated and that people are achieving what they desire or what's expected. So ensuring that that connection is built allows that foundation of trust to be at a level at which other things can be built upon.
We've talked about that book, The Speed of Trust. It really is an accelerator. And without that connection, that trust would not be there. I also think that if you've got the connection, you're able to really hear what some of people's concerns or fears may be on a project that they're working on or about something new that they're learning or whatever goal they're trying to attain. And you also may hear some of their motivations. And if you know someone's motivations, you can actually frame your coaching to help them get even more motivated. And it really helps you shift how you guide people so it works for them rather than coaching and guiding everybody the exact same way. And you'll hit some people, but it's not going to work for everybody.
Well, and I will say some of this comes natural for some people. Other people that thinking about the, I want to treat everybody the same, I want to be consistent, I want to be fair, sometimes can be an obstacle because we do need to adjust or flex and make sure that we are adapting to who that person is in that process. So can you give us some examples of how that would sound?
Yes. It doesn't have to be like a super formal conversation. It really can just be in the flow of the conversation that you're having rather than telling someone, here's your first step. You can ask them, what do you think the next step should be? What do you think the next 3 or 4 steps should be? What is most pressing to get done first? And you listen for where they are in their answer. And because you have experience or your view is from a different lens, you can help guide or correct the starting point. You can help guide or correct what those steps are because they may list 3 first steps and be missing a critical 4th one that should happen first. And you could put that in. And they'll hear that differently because they already own the other 3. And they'll hear that 4th one as you partnering with them. And they'll be able to integrate it with the energy they already have. And more often than not, when I approach it that way, the employee is saying, oh, that's a great idea. Or even when I'm in conversation with my daughter, I'll ask her those questions. She's planning something or she's got a challenge. Well, what do you think the first things are to do? What are the next things to do? So I'm listening for, is she covering the risks? Is she covering everything that, because it's new, she hasn't done this before. And then I'm able just to put the steps in. How about you? What ways do you like asking questions in the flow of the conversation or the flow of the work to help get that connection.
Well, I love to ask questions, period. we'll just throw that out there.
Really? That's a shocker.
I did not know that about you. Get me in trouble. But I do think, just as you were talking, there was something that was surfaced before I go into this. I think, you know, as leaders and being trained as leaders, I think we often either learn how to do this or it comes naturally. But working with a person or with a team, we ask their perspective on like what success looks like. So we typically try to meet the group of like, here's the expectation, trying to set the vision, that kind of thing. But when I was listening to you talk and when I think about this, and really is integrating that same philosophy inside of the flow, inside of the day-to-day. So really just asking, what is it that they need in the moment? Or what impact is going to happen if you do option A, right? Getting them to think through where they're currently at, where it is that they need to go, and how they are going to get there. And I think by basically breaking the work down into those three pieces allows us to hear, you know, are they going to use a car? Are they going to use a boat? Are they going to use an RV and try to do it all at one time, right? Mm-hmm. And I think listening to what answers they give allows us as leaders to be able to become curious and help them be curious about the task or situation.
I like how you phrase that, help them be curious. That's where growth can potentially start. I love that. So we've talked about what it is, and we've talked a little about what it's not. When you boil it down, it really is about customizing this process or the flow towards an expectation so people can actually reach it together. And they're not feeling alone or isolated. So they feel like they belong with it. They're seen, they're heard. You know, once we see that meeting people where they are isn't lowering the bar, the real question becomes, how do we connect?
And sometimes it sounds easier than it actually is. But if we don't have the connection and we try to provide direction, usually it backfires. Usually there is lots of conflict or tension. So I want to spend just a few minutes getting your perspective and connecting with other people. Because I know you often say this, and which I think is beautiful, is that people around us often see us where we're at before we actually see it ourselves. So I would love to hear you share a little bit more about that.
And my ability to see through that lens has evolved over time, and it's evolved from mistakes that I've made as a leader or even as a parent. But we see the potential in people. And for me, by listening to what their goals are or their motivations are, I can very clearly see how their current behaviors and actions are never going to get them there. And oftentimes are roadblocks to get them there. And that's where I started to create that idea of seeing people for who they are and listening to them from what they say or from who they say they are. So I know with my daughter, I listened to her for what she said she wanted to be. And so when she showed up as not that, then I would just have a conversation with her about it. And then she might get upset that I brought something up. I say, well, I'm saying that because you said you wanted this, and I am just pointing out that this is not that. That's counter to that. It's also very useful at work as well. I don't know about you, but there's oftentimes you hear managers or leaders say, well, you know, Joe is just like that. And they accept subpar or mediocre performance from Joe because Joe's just like that. But it's a drain on resources. It's a drain on productivity. Other people know about it. So it hits the team morale as well because we're just tolerating Joe's mediocrity. He's never done anything so bad to say, hey, let's get rid of him. But he's also not carrying the complete weight.
So the impact is greater than just his individual performance.
It's much, much bigger. It impacts the team performance. So if, you know, I have the conversation with Joe, I see you as an intelligent, top performer that pays attention to detail that people want to get information from. And when you show up as not that, I'm going to give you feedback. Just come right out and tell them. And it's amazing what that conversation does. So number one, they get shocked that you see me as what? How do you see me as that? And it's usually from conversations I've had with the person.
And you can provide examples.
I can provide example. Well, you said that someday you would like to be a director of this type of a team. And it takes these types of qualities. And I see these that you display. You've got good charisma. People enjoy talking with you. People seek you out for fun items. And you get disappointed when they don't seek you out as expertise in these other items. But you very clearly have the expertise. Well, to be a director, you need to have people see that expertise. So this is an opportunity where you missed showing that expertise. And so I'm giving you the feedback on that. And it makes the feedback really about their goals than just me thinking they did something wrong. And so they hear it differently. They relate to it differently. They appreciate the partnership.
I also think it's like helping them create a new standard or expectation. Mm-hmm. It's one thing for us to say, I expect this of you. But to work together and be collaborative and create this new standard or new expectation with them. Mm-hmm. Again, we know all the research that shows, right, the buy-in is important. And when you, you know, have somebody that's involved in the process, they're going to be more committed to the process. But really, what you have done and what we can do is help them articulate mm-hmm. what is internal and allow them to see it so that it can be developed. And the key or the trick to that is how we listen, mm-hmm. because how we listen is how they're going to show up. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked a lot about listening in our episode 14 on the leadership skill you can't fake, because it is definitely a skill that if you're not listening, it is very obvious. Mm-hmm. And if we're not listening at all levels, if we're not listening to what's being said, what's not being said, then we're going to miss a lot of things and we're not going to understand why there's a gap there. And so if we listen to them for their potential and then we help them see that, then they're going to show up as that. Mm-hmm. So I think the example with your daughter, I think, is a prime example of that. Can you give a work example for people?
Yes. I was leading a team. It was a large team. There were 8 teams that were reporting to me. And we had moved one director from one team to another. The team she was moved to was having some performance challenges. And that's why we moved her to that team. She had managed all of it, the relationship issues, things were riding high, except for one person that we'll call Joe.
Love Joe.
And we love Joe. People loved him. They loved talking with him. But he also wasn't the first one that they asked for to do the projects that, so the customer wasn't, the client, internal customer wasn't asking for him. And he would do just odd things, like tip a little too much extra on some Starbucks runs. And so it wasn't quite enough to say, hey, we need to fire this guy, but they were just loose types of behaviors. And in a one-on-one, his manager, and we'll call her Sally, was talking with me, just complaining about him. And I said, you know, Sally, you've had this complaint about him, and what are you going to do? And she said, well, that's just how he is. He's not going to change. Simone, he's been on this team as long as I've been with the company, and he's not going anywhere else. And I said, but what are you going to do about him? And because that's not, I said, is that acceptable performance? And she said, no, but he's not going to change. And so I just looked at her. I said, okay, I encourage you to listen to him bigger than you're seeing him right now, because you're the block for his potential because of how you hear him. You only see him as this mediocre performer, and he's not ever going to be anything different. So until you shift how you see him as and start articulating that with him, he's never going to change. And so we talked through it. She thought I was crazy, but she took it on, and he actually shifted. So over the course of about 12 months, he became the person that the business was asking for. And he had a big reputational shift that he needed to have happen inside of the business. But 12 months or so, it was pretty miraculous what she did with him and the type of support, because she told him, she said, okay, Joe, I'm only going to see you as this. And she said it out loud because it was also convincing herself, because it was hard for her to see him as that. And so she was reminding him, reminding her that that was how she was going to see him. And whenever he didn't show up that way, she gave him feedback. And in all areas of the performance, and then the slippery things that could be hit into a reputational risk were really tightened up so that you really saw the good stuff that he was doing. And so I think that's a prime example of how it can work in action by simply saying, I see you for who you say you are, not for how you're showing up.
Which I think that's a great reminder for us as leaders, is accepting the current state and not being curious about what possibilities could be with that other individual. Mm-hmm. If we're listening to them small, if we're listening to them just as it is, rather than thinking about possibilities, then people are going to shrink and they're going to be, even from our perspective, but then even performance, going to be operating at that level. But if we do think of them in a bigger space, and if we've identified by listening through what they're saying, what they're not saying, their potential, then ultimately people will rise to that. People mm-hmm. will step into and embrace. And I think, I know I shared with you watching a movie with my son over the weekend. And of course, I learned something from everything that I do. And movies are a great place for quotes. But in this particular movie, there was the quote that it's not our job to change people. People change themselves. Oh, we just show them that we believe in them.
I love that. I interrupted you. Could you say it again so our listeners can hear that?
Yes.
And I won't interrupt this time.
It's not our job to change people. People change themselves. We just show them that we believe in them. So by listening to them bigger, providing the curiosity in the space, we are demonstrating that we believe in them and that they can be bigger, which I think is such a powerful thought.
It is. Because when we're struggling personally with something or we're seeking something, that's what we're saying is, if they would just give me a chance, I know I can do it. And so by listening to someone bigger, you're flipping that script and saying, I know you can do something bigger. I know you can do what you say you want to do. Then let's do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think there is potential in every single person. And you know me, I love people. I think people are wonderful. People are great. And people can be all that they want to be. But there are some times that you can listen to someone big. You can offer the space. You can offer the opportunity. But some people just are not at the right phase in their journey, or they're just not in the right seat. And so if something or something occurs, or someone repeatedly doesn't meet the standard after making the connection, offering the support, adjusting and calibrating what is needed, then actually helping them and manage them out is mm-hmm. also meeting them where they're at.
It really is. It's, and this is a very crass statement, but you manage up or you manage out. And you do that through meeting people where they are and helping them understand this standard and connecting with them and doing all the things we've just talked about. And then it will become evident if there's not the skill, or it may turn out that that's not the will. That's really not what they want to do, because they even have struggled articulating what their dreams are, or what motivates them, or what they want to do. And you know, they may be good at doing it, but their soul isn't fulfilled. They're not lit up. And so they're not energized to do it well. And so either they'll self-select out, in the unfortunate cases where sometimes you do need to fire people. That's a better space to fire them from, so that you were listening to them big, you were coaching them along the way, and it just did not get there.
That's not easy. I don't want anybody listening thinking that, oh, I did my best and it's going to make it easy. When we're dealing with people, it is a very difficult, sometimes a very challenging and difficult situation. But listening in this way, listening big, really does shift how people show up. And as we talk about different performance levels, it's going to look and sound a little bit differently. So I would love for us to kind of jump into and maybe give some examples of what that looks like or sounds like at different performance levels.
Let's start with the good performers. These are the people who are just, they're getting it done. Well, there's a myth that we can just stay out of their way. And I caution listeners against doing that. So I'll repeat it because it's very important. If you've got good performers, do not just get out of their way and let them go on their their merry way. Because the reality is, you know, they're often self-directed, you know, despite us. But if you meet them where they are to connect anyway, you're really going to understand what their goals are, what their aims are, either for this work or this company or in life in general. By doing that, you're going to help remove or smooth any friction that may come up. And with that connection, you will see some of those places where those standards aren't aligning that can become a dangerous roadblock down the road. So I've cautioned people from saying, hey, this one's good. I just let Simone go and do whatever she's going to do, because invariably Simone's going to disappoint. And it's not because Simone made a mistake. It's because she's off there self-directed and didn't get some of that guidance. And she was straying until she was too far out of bounds. Simone, I didn't know that, hey, I was out of bounds, nor did my boss or whoever was managing the project know that I was getting out of bounds. So you really want to help get them back in bounds.
Well, I think in helping align those expectations, I think if you just, you know, let somebody go do their own thing and you're not making those connections, you're not able to easily identify when those obstacles or challenges are going to arise because you are not connected. And the more that you allow them to go off on their own, the less connected you become. So you really become disconnected and you have this image of who they are as an employee, as opposed to really knowing what it is they're doing, what motivates them, mm-hmm. where they want to go, right? All of those things. So that connection piece is so important.
Yeah, and that's where you get the micro judgments. Oh, they're good, but their attention to detail is a little off. Well, who was supporting them and looking at it, right? And did they know that sending it to a senior vice president without it being looked at was going to impact their reputation? But it can, it's those micro judgments that could really, really hurt them. And they're otherwise a solid performer. They're really good. Well, let's shift to the high performers. How does this show up for high performers? What are some of the things we need to look at?
Well, I think if the connection is not the foundation, then they may perceive you as a leader as a true obstacle, or they may perceive you as controlling or micromanaging because they are exceptional at what they do. They have insight into where they want to go. But as a leader, if we haven't made that connection, if we haven't connected with the human part of that high performer, then we are not going to be a true partner in their journey or their path to development.
With high performers, I've found that even trying to make that connection, if they're more of an introverted high performer and you're trying to make that connection, there still may be some friction because they're suspect of what is she doing? Is she trying to take credit for my work? Is she going to get in my business and tell me to do it differently when I know about more than she does on this? And so working with high performers can be slightly different. And that's why that connection is so important. So they don't necessarily hear the goals as independent. So you're connecting with the person, but you also want to connect and align the goals that they're working towards with the organizational goals. That's where the connection, I think, is really important with the high performers.
Agreed. And I think it's really demonstrating that respect for their potential, because I think high performers typically can see their potential at least faster than other performers. And so being respectful of and acknowledging the fact, and then being able to tie what it is that they're doing, as you mentioned, but then helping them see, right, what does that next level look like and how you're not there to slow them down. In fact, you're there to help, maybe even expedite, but to make the path to that next level a little bit smoother.
So we've talked about good performers, talked about high performers. What about struggling performers? What do we do in that case?
Yeah, this one I think tugs at my heart a little bit because I think a lot of times in organizations, especially with just the fast pace of rapid change, that struggling performers typically get written off really quickly, right? Mm-hmm. That they're not performing, so we need to get rid of them or they're done and I've washed my hands of them. Being able to connect allows us to maybe acknowledge the stress that they're experiencing, because that could be work-related, that could be personally related. But making that connection doesn't mean that we're lowering the standards. It is simply acknowledging where they're at and hopefully providing that clarity so that they can feel supported in whatever the situation is that they're struggling with.
It may sound a little odd here, but I actually enjoy working with performers that the company has deemed struggling or not good, because I do have skill in this area of listening to people big and really parsing out, is it truly a skill problem or is it simply a will problem, or that they're not connected. And I have been given struggling teams and organizations before. And at one point in my career, I was given an organization that had about 200 people in it. And the company just said, we're going to decentralize that group. You just go and do what you do to keep the noise down. So basically to help manage lead escalations and et cetera. And I took it as a challenge to turn it around, and that team was intact for many years after that. So it was successful, but this was the approach that I took, was by looking at the standards, helping the employees connect with the standards, helping the managers that were on the team connect with those standards, looking at, is it that the person's not skilled? Is it their will? And what's really going on in that situation? For all of, and that's 200 people, it was pretty tough. But we were able to do it and turn it around. But rather than just casting everyone out of, well, that's just how it's done, and it's a low paying job. And so there was a lot of excuses that the managers gave me. So I had a collective conversation with those managers and helped them get really connected to what would happen if this team got disbanded, if it was decentralized into the regions. Got them present to that, helped them create a different goal. And so then the managers were the ones that were shifting it and turning it around. And the bar didn't change. The bar was the same. They just started managing to the bar, whereas before they weren't. And so,
I mean, you could even say the bar was actually elevated from what the original ask was in reality.
Yeah. For my bar was, yeah, I elevated the bar. Yeah, because the original ask to me was just to keep it, the noise down.
Right. Yeah.
For the managers, they didn't know that it was going to, that was going to happen. So they just knew that they got a new boss. And so they didn't know that it was potentially going to be decentralized. And so it, we shared it with them eventually that this was going to happen. And I, so they raised, they started managing to the bar that they were hired to manage to. And they did a great job, a really great job.
Yeah. Well, listening to all of these examples, I think an easy way to think about it is, once we have that connection, if we spend the time, energy, and effort and make that connection, then we can provide clarity on the standard of, so the individual can understand it to where they're at. Again, not lowering the bar, but almost providing that clarity of where the bar is in relation to where they're at, so that they can actually make a choice and we as a leader can make a choice of what support do they need. They can understand what steps are needed next. And then we have the result or the follow through or ultimately the consequence, depending upon the situation.
That's a great pattern, whether it's 4 steps or a cycle, the connection, clarity, choice, and consequence. The pattern's the same regardless of that level, whether you've got a good performer, high performer, or struggling performer. That pattern is the same. So that's an excellent button on that one. I think this is bringing us to the core.
It is. And I think when you think about whether you want to call it the 4 C's or whatever that is, I think with all of our topics, you can overlay the entire core framework on top of that. And we won't go through each one of those, but I think it's pretty obvious where I think I've even said curious multiple times during the episode, but curiosity, asking those questions, understanding, right? But what shows up for you, Simone, when you think about this and meeting people where they're at in the core framework?
For me, it's reflection. I really encourage everyone to notice your listening habit. Do you listen to people small? Do you listen to people big? How does that come across in your one-on-ones? How does it come across in your meetings? How does it come across in how you assign projects to people? Is there always a go-to that might be your high performer that you're thinking of? And what could happen if you develop the lower performer to be able to then share in some of those project assignments? So the reflection piece, I think for me, of core, is one that would benefit leaders, parents, in everything. How are you listening?
And as you're reflecting, I think that embrace a piece is so important. We need to embrace who that other person is and just, again, be with them. Uh-huh. And embrace whatever shows up in that reflection so that we can be effective at meeting them where they're at.
And helping them to embrace that vision as well, too.
Excellent connection. Yes.
This leads us to our reflection prompt portion of our episode. And this is for not just leaders, but parents as well. I ask you to reflect upon, where am I not meeting someone where they are? And what is one small change that I can make to create a deep connection by meeting people where they are?
And I'm going to throw out even an extension of that, that with any relationship that we have in our life, those two questions can be very impactful if we spend some time thinking about it this week. Our next episode is really going to be focused in on how do we, as leaders, help people move through and reach their potential. So coaching in the flow of work, or as I like to say, coaching in the flow of the quest. So we're going to focus on those tiny shifts or tiny interventions that lead to big or major growth. So don't forget to access our resources on our website, www.questtothecore.com with the number 2. And our discussion guides are out there available for you to use with your group or your team. Or individually, just like a book club, it asks some very thoughtful questions that you can think for yourself or create a discussion with your group.
We have a very special thanks to Grammy-recognized hit songwriter Cliff Goldmacher for our theme song. Please go out and reference his information on our website, particularly in development opportunities that he provides for leaders in your organizations.
And until next time, meet the person where they are, make the connection before direction, and create a lasting impact.